we're holding on a Hey Onward Bays. Eight line, nine lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday that Machlokas Tanoim, when you have when the Beis Din HaGadol, first the main Machlokas was when you had the Beis Din HaGadol gave a mistaken psak, as we've been discussing so far, and the Tzibur followed them. When they bring the Par Helam Dabash al Tzibur, how many of they bring are they bringing? We had Reb Meir saying it's one. We had Reb Yehuda saying it's one for each shevet, and we said there can be, in most cases, in all cases, we said Reb Yehuda is going to say there's something called grira as well, which means that even the shvatim that didn't do the avera are going to be dragged in with the ones that did, so that if the Beis Din HaGadol passed in and only one shevet followed them, but that shevet makes up a majority of the Jewish people, then all 12 shvatim are bringing, and that means there are going to be 12 parim, or in the case of Avodah Zarah, 12 parim and 12 seirim, that I brought. That was Reb Yehuda. Then we had Reb Shimon saying that it's actually one more because he says that Tzibur brings as well as the Beis Din brings. So one point he said was, in other words, that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon each hold that since that when the pasuk repeats the word kohol, that the word kohol can refer to an individual shevet. So Reb Yehuda is going to say that each shevet is considered its own kohol and brings its own carbon, and Reb Shimon is going to say the same thing and add that also the Beis Din themselves are going to bring one as well, as the Gemara had worked out in detail. So, for Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, Shevet Echad De'ikri Kohol Menolahu. So, where did Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon know that one Shevet can be called a Kohol? So Amri, so they answered like this. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. It describes, you have, at one point, there's a huge coalition of nations that have invaded the land of Yehuda, and are threatening to conquer all the land and force the Jews out. Kapitel Pei Gimel of Tilim refers to that invasion, and the caption over there in the Oro Yosef of Tilim actually says that it's in connection with this invasion. Anyway, Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda at the time, called together the Jewish people to daven to Hashem to help them. So the pasuk says, "Vayamod Yehoshaphat b'kal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim." Yehoshaphat stood in the kohol, in the congregation of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, noichach chatzah b'es Hashem hachadosha, opposite the new chotzer of Hashem, of the house of Hashem. The actual lashon pasuk is a little bit different. The actual lashon pasuk is lifnei hachotzer. In the house of Hashem, in front of the new chotzer. So first the Gemara deals with what do we mean by the new chotzer. The point being, in other words, now Yehoshaphat is king over Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and yet, and primarily Yehuda, and yet we see that can be called the kohol, since it says kahal Yehuda. Rabbi Meir would answer, as we'll discuss a little further on, that it's called kahal Yehuda. It's not called kohol stam. But anyway, this is where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon get that one shevet can be called a kohol. So the Gemara says, my chadosha. What do we mean the new? What do we mean the new chotzer? So Omer Rav Yechanan, shechidshu dvarim, it means that that day they made a new takana. When they said tvul yom, al yikonis v'machna leviyah. A tvul yom, somebody who was tameh and is tovled and now has to wait for head of shemesh to be fully toher, is not allowed to come into machna leviyah. Up until that point, with the araisa, such a person can go all the way up through all the way until Shaar Nikkanah, until the gates into Eretz Yisrael. Now they made a takana that he can't go into that he can't go in. When we say Machna Levia, we mean the Ezras Noshim. Midaraisa, there's no such thing as the Ezras Noshim. That's something that you didn't have. You didn't have an equivalent of it in the Mishkan and in the Beis Mikdash. The concept that Ezra's Noshim has a higher level of Kedusha than the surrounding area is based on the Sakana Dirabanan. So that's why it's called Chotzer HaChadosha. There is, in fact, interestingly, an explanation that it means they literally did build a new Chotzer in order that now the Tvula Yom will have where to go. The point being, in other words, that's why it's called Chotzer HaChadosha. On the face of it, the Gemara is just bringing this because having brought the Pasuk Chotzer HaChadosha, then it explains the Durasha why it was called that. The Gemara brings this in a few other places. There was the Choyt Nosan and Omasech that gives an explanation that basically, since they made the Sakana and it was accepted, means that the majority of the people accepted it and were following it, which is necessary for a Takana Derabanan to be successful. So we see that there was an actual, whole Kohol over there, and they all accepted this Takana. Why did they make the Sakana at that point? I once saw an explanation that since now you have the Goyim are invading Eretz Yisrael where they don't belong, so they realize they need now a strengthening of the boundaries where certain kinds of people, where certain Tzmeim don't belong, and therefore they made the Sakana. This that we said actually that they built a new chotzer. It's actually the Meshech Chachma says that. Anyway, the point is that we see that the whole Shevet Yehuda is called Kahal Yehuda. So the Gemara says Maskef for Rav Acha Bayakov, but Rav Acha Bayakov says still that's not a solid proof. Dilma Shiny Yerushalayim to have a Nami Binyamin. Maybe it's different in Yerushalayim where after all there was Binyamin over there as well. So fine, you can show that two Shvatim are called a Kohol. Maybe not. Maybe one Shevet alone is not enough to be called a Kohol. So, the Gemara had thought since it mentioned only Yehuda, but no, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is pointing out it may be called the kingdom of Yehuda, but the fact remains it is Shevet Binyamin as well. Mind you, I mean, there were individuals from other Shvatim as well. It says in Pesukim and Divrei Yomim that many of them left the kingdom of the Aseres HaShvatim when Yeravam set up as Egle Hazav, but still that's not enough to make it that you have a whole bunch of Shvatim over here. So Elo Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no, here's where we're going to learn it from. Dichtiv, you have in Yaakov's bracha to Yosef. He says, Vayomer Eli, he describes how he says to Yosef, I'm going to be making you into two Shvatim. He says, Vayomer Eli, Hashem told me, Hinni Matracha v'hibisicha, behold, I'm going to make you increase and multiply, Unsaticha l'kal amim v'gomer, and I'll make you into a kohol of nations. Now this is, he's referring to what Hashem had told him, when he's still in Choron, when he's on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. Specifically, actually, Rashi refers to, he said it to him when he was in Basil, before Binyamin was born. Who had been born at that point, Binyamin. Only Shevet Binyamin had yet to be born. All the other ones were born in Haran. Hachi kamer shmamina, therefore we see Hachi kamer achmana, misyad l'cha hashta kohol achrina. So now Hashem is telling him, in effect, another kohol is going to be born to you. So you see, that's because Hashem says, l'chal amin. So you see, therefore, that one Shevet alone can be called a kohol. Tosfos actually wonders what about you have the earlier pasuk in the narrative when Yaakov was actually in this is in Vayechi earlier in Parshas Vayishlach when he's actually in Basel, then Hashem tells him Goyukhal Goyim Yemineka, and we darshin that it means that Goyukhal Goyim means Binyamin and Menashe and Ephraim. So that's actually the answer. That's actually so Tosfos leaves the question open. There's actually an answer that's tackle what it is. You would have thought Goyim means Binyamin, Kahal Goyim is Menashe and Ephraim, and therefore you're back to the problem that a Kohol would mean two Shvatim but not one. Anyway, so we see though that Hashem, that now when he paraphrases this many years later, he says that Hashem told him, I'm going to make you a Kahal Amim, and only Binyamin was yet to be born at the time that he's reporting that Hashem told that to him. No, because maybe you could understand the pasuk as follows. Hashem is telling Yaakov, L'chimis yada l'cho binyamin hu dahavu shneimos ha-shvatim, when Binyamin is going to be born, and then you're going to have 12 shvatim, demiskalias kohol, then you're going to be called a kohol. So maybe if Hakev is not called a kohol, if even one shevet is missing. So Omalei, said if Kahana answers back, Ella, what are you going to tell me? Why? El Shneimos Shvatim Ikru Kohol Achadas Shvatim La Ikru Kohol. So what are you telling me exactly that? You're telling me that 11 Shvatim is not enough to be considered a Kohol. The fact is, first of all, we have the pasuk from Yehoshaphat that shows that one Shevet is enough to be called a Kohol. Two Shvatim, we said, fine. But still, evidently what it means is that right now, there's going to be one more Kohol, that's going to be born, and therefore we see that Shevet Binyamin alone can be a Kohol. So that's Rashi's explanation. Marsha actually has a number of problems with Rashi's explanation. After all, we still have to deal with the opinion of Reb Meir that says that only the whole Jewish people are called a kohel. So maybe 11 shvatim is in fact not maybe 11 shvatim is not a kohel. So Marsha says rather the proof is very simple because after all we have learned so far that even if seven of the shvatim had followed the Beis Din and done the Aveira, then the whole tzibur is bringing the par halam davar shel tzibur. Okay, we have the machlokes how many they're bringing, but everybody agrees that seven shvatim, if they're also a majority of the people, are definitely bringing. So we see that surely 11 shvatim should be considered a kohol. Chayt Nosan again comes in and answers and says that that's the whole point. He says that before we had, it says Kahal Yehuda in connection with Yerushalayim. So it's not a real Kahal, whereas Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda don't say that. So therefore they can well say that at least two Shvatim are considered a Kahal, and now we're saying even one, so therefore Rav Acha Yaakov can well be saying that, or Rav Kahana rather, can well be answering that what? If you're going to learn that only when there were all 12 shvatim are they going to be a kohol? Then what are you going to do with the earlier pasuk from Yehoshaphat that says that one shevet or two shvatim alone is a kohol? Okay, so that's the bottom line. The question is whether individual shvatim can be considered a kohol. Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon will say yes based on the pasuk from Yehoshaphat and the pasuk from Yaakov, and Reb Meir will say in both those cases we can see that it's called a kohol of something, kahal Yehuda or kahal goyim, but not necessarily that it means not necessarily that it's a kohol alone. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Tanya, Reb Shimon Omer, we learn in a braisa that Reb Shimon says, "Ma tamud leimer ufar sheni ben boker tikach lachatos." So now the Gemara is going to the Gemara is going to go and bring a braisa from which we're going to eventually have a question on Reb Meir. We're going to be discussing the chatas that the Levi, we're going to be discussing that the chatas that the Leviim brought when they were first inaugurated in as Leviim, as it describes at the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. And then we're also going to discuss the korbanos that they brought at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. So we're going to, as we go through the discussion, we're going to see, according to the mayor, how does it fit? In particular, we're going to focus on the number of korbanos that were brought at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, which Rashi Gemara is going to establish with par halam davar shel tzibur, according to the mayor, the number that they brought, as it says in the pesukim, doesn't fit. So, Tanya Reb Shimon Omer, Ma Tamad Loima Ufar Sheni Ben Bokar Tikach Lachatas. When the Levim are being inaugurated into their job in Parshas Baaloscha, the pasuk describes that they have to bring two korbanos. Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there that it's meant as korbanos for mistaken avodah zarah, where the bechorim should have brought them, and instead the levim are taking over the job of the bechorim, so they're bringing them. And the pasuk says, "Ufar sheni ben boker tikach lachatas." A second pair, you should bring a second pair as a chatas. So why does it need to? Why do you need to say sheni? Im lalamed shem shnayim doesn't mean you need two, and the previous one was an oila. V'aloi kranem, v'asei esa echad chatas, v'asei echad oila la'ashem. It says right there in the pasuk, it says a few psukim later, make one of these bulls that they're bringing a chatas, and the other one is an oila. So of course we know there are two. Ella, no, the pasuk is teaching us as follows. Yochol tehei ne'echeles chatas la'levim. You would think that maybe this chatas could be eaten by the Levim. Now, what do you mean Levim? Why would we think that Levim should be eating a chatas? Chayim eat a chatas. So Marashah says, first of all, maybe you could say that here, what's one of the places where the word Levim means Koyanim, as we've had in recent Parashias, where it often says, Koyanim Alevim, and in fact, the Gemara elsewhere says there are a bunch of places in Tanakh where the Koyanim are just called Levim. So it could mean that, or it could mean that maybe since the Levim now are being inaugurated, maybe they would have the right to eat the schatas now.
other Mephoshim say maybe instead of the word Lalavim, it should say Halavim, Chatas Halavim. Maybe the Chatas and Levim should be eaten by who? By people who always eat Chatas the Chayim. In any case, the question is, how do we know that this Chatas is not eaten? Tamad Loimer Ufar Sheni. That's why we have this pasuk called Par Sheni, the second par, which means Sheni Le'ola, it's secondary to the Ola, meaning just like an Ola is not eaten, so ma ola lo na echela, so an ola by definition is not eaten, af chatas lo na echela, so we learn from the words of Far Sheni that this chatas is unique, and it's not eaten either. In effect, what it is, in other words, again, the Levium are bringing these korbanos to be mechaper on the Avodah Zarah, on the ego that the Bechorim had sinned with, and instead the Levium are taking over. Now, when you have a chat, when you have a korban for the fact that people mistakenly, for the fact that the Tzibur mistakenly worship at Avodah Zarah, as we've been discussing, that's the Seirim and Yisrafim, so those are burnt outside the Machne. Here it's not a Seir, it's a Par, because there's a Kosev, but nevertheless the same, the Be'er Sheva explains the same rule. The same rule still applies, and therefore it has to be burnt. Now, Kayotze Bois, and now similarly, Rabbi Yossi says you find a similar thing shortly after the second Beis Hamikdash was built. To be exact, the pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote now is referring when Ezra came with his group to a few years after they'd finished building the second Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, so the pasuk says, Aboy Mashvi Agoyla, those who had come back from the captivity, from the Gola, Boy Mashvi B'nei Agola is actually how it says in the Pasuk, whatever, he krivu oilas for the Kayisrael, they brought oilas to Hashem, porim shnei masav gomer, they brought 12 porim, and they brought some other korbanos. Now, why 12 porim? So then it says, hakol oila, all of it was an oila. So what do you mean, hakol oila, sakadaybach? What do you mean that it was all an oila? How could a chatas be an ola? The pasuk starts by saying that now when they're bringing these korbanos, they're bringing them as a chatas for the avodah zarah that they had worshipped earlier. So what do you mean? The question is rather particularly because the pasuk continues after it mentions the 12 parim. So the whole pasuk goes like this: they brought the korbanos, parim shneim also akol Yisrael, 12 parim for the whole Jewish people, elim tishin b'shisha, 96 rams, kvotim shivim b'shiva, 77 sheep, tzire chatas shneim also, and 12 goats for a chatas. And then it finishes off, hakol ola l'Hashem, all of it was an ola for Hashem. So fine, the parim and elim and kvotim that are brought as olas, we can understand they're not necessarily to be mechaper for anything. Those are korbanos miluim. You always have when a new Beis Hamikdash is inaugurated, then you have special korbanos. But we're saying tzfirei chatas shneim also, and then we're saying hakol ola l'Hashem. So how are we taking? We're in the same breath. We're saying that they're chatas and they're brought as ola. So efshet shachatas oila. How could it be that the 12 goats for chatas are an oila? Ela hakol ka oila. Rather, it means that all of them were treated like the oila, just like the chatas of Levim. Ma oila lo ne'achelas, haf chatas lo ne'achelas. Just like an oila is not eaten, so these chatas were not eaten. What they did is, again, they brought the blood into the heichel and sprinkled it there, as they do with the se'irim of Avodah Zarah, because that's what these were. These were se'irim of Avodah Zarah. And then, therefore, and then the rule is, chatas, whose blood is brought into the kodesh, is not eaten. It has to be burnt outside the machna, and that's exactly what they did over here. So why is that? The Tanya of Yehuda Omer, al avodas kechav mevium. They brought them for avodah zarah. Now, what avodah zarah? We're not talking about avodah zarah that they're doing now at the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. This was the period when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah davened and successfully got the avodah zarah, the yetzer hara for avodah zarah removed. So for Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, al avodas kechav mevium also be made sit yahu. They're bringing now, many years later, as the Gemara is going to work out further down on this Omer, how they could do this, but in any case, they're bringing for the Avodah Zarah that they had worshipped back in the days of Tzidkiyahu, who was the last king of Yehuda before the Churban and the Golos. So now, and the pasuk is saying that they brought 12 goats as a chatas. So that's what we're going to focus on. So this shleim lo Rabbi Yehuda, so it's easy to understand according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you have 12 mashkachas lo, lahani shneim maso chatois, how do you have 12 chatois? Very simple, we're in the chatur shneim maso shvatim, 12 shvatim sin and worship Avodah Zarah, the maisu shneim maso seirim, where they bring 12 seirim. Inami the chatur shiva shvatim, or you could even have that 7 shvatim had worshipped Avodah Zarah, Ush'ara inach begrira, and the rest of them are brought in with grira, as we learned previously that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the shvatim that didn't do the avera bring a korban as if they did. There is, by the way, I mean, the whole thing is a horas shah, because all this time we've been talking about that it has to be that Dastin mistakenly allowed some kind of avodah zarah when they were worshipping in the time of Tzidkiyahu. It's not necessarily because Dastin paskin. So it's a hiras shah. So fine, but the Gemara wants to go through the whole maso matan and the whole discussion back and forth. And then on top of that, also you have the point. Now in Sidkiyahu's times, the Aseres HaShvatim had long since been taken into Golos, but you have the Gemara brings elsewhere that Yirmiyah brought many of them back, and since, as we learned previously, only the ones in Eretz Yisrael count, so that works. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you understand why there are 12 goats, because either all 12 Shvatim sinned, or 7 of them did, and the rest of them come in with Grira. Mind you, we learned yesterday that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even one Shevet does, if they're a majority of the Jewish people, is enough to do Grira. So one point is that the Chazon Ish makes a point that Gemara wants to speak according to the final halacha, which is that the only way it would be is if that one shevet is a majority, and you didn't have that then, that's why the Gemara says 7. Be that as it may, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand why they brought 12 goats. Again, the only thing then that you need to say that's unusual is that it was the only way in which it was a Hiras Shah is the fact that it wasn't originally based on a mistaken sack of basting. And according to Reb Shimon, who says that each shevet brings one, each shevet who sinned brings one, because he doesn't hold a grira, plus he says the basin themselves bring one, then fine. Nami mashkachasot, you end up to achados shvatim. So fine, 11 of the shvatim have sinned. The maisu achados of seirim. So they have 11 seirim for the shvatim, enough to basin, and one more for basin. So that explains why that. Rameir though says that Bastin brings one carbon and the Tzibur doesn't bring anything at all. Then how do you have that? Why they bring the 12 goats? And the answer is because Rameir would say they sin and they sinned again and again. So therefore, altogether, you have 12 different times. In other words, so now they're bringing 12 korbanos, not because they're the 12 shvatim, but because they're 12 different times that they did this. Tosfos, by the way, wonders, the fact is that we're saying there were Elam and Kvasim, and we're saying all of them were brought as Olas. Those are not brought as Avodah Zarah, so why do they have to burn those? Tosfos leaves that question open. The Pashtos, I guess, it would be possible to say that those were Kobonis and Miluyim. That's different. Fine. Now the Gemara asks a more general question. Fine. So we've established that a mayor is not going to be bothered by the number of goats for chatas that it says in the pasuk. But now a more general question. Isn't it supposed to be that the people who did the avera are supposed to bring the carbon? The people from Tzidkiyahu's times, this is many years, is over 70 years later, of the pashtos are long dead. You even have a concept called Hatois Hamnesis, which is that if a person designates an animal for a korban, and then he dies, then that animal has to be left to die. You can't bring it as a chatos. So are they bringing Hatois on behalf of these people from many, many years earlier? You also have the Gemara is assuming at this point ain't kapara l'meisim. You can't give a korban on behalf of somebody who's dead. We're going to talk about that in Masechet Zvachim in a few weeks. Bless Hashem. How are they bringing these korbanos in the first place?
So the answer is, I'm going to put the community chattas from Mesa Bala Abamisa, because you know what? The whole concept that we have, Allah Lamar Shemisinai, that when a chattas's owner died, that the chattas itself has to be put to death, has to be locked up in a room, and eventually it dies there, Hani Mili B'Yachin. That would only be when it was a Yachin. Avaloy B'Tzibur, but not by a Tzibur, Lefisha in Misa B'Tzibur, because the Tzibur doesn't die. The individuals who make up the Tzibur die, but the Tzibur as a whole continues to live. It's almost like a corporation. You have, let's say, for example, Microsoft Corporation, for example. Bill Gates started it. Eventually, he's going to drop dead. The corporation is still going to continue to outlive him. So the same way, no matter how many Jews of every generation pass away, but there it's still taken over. It's still one corporation, one Sibur that continues from generation to generation. So therefore, yes, they could still be they could still be bringing the carbon on behalf of that earlier generation. Moshe actually explains in one of his chuvas that the question we thought that it meant that the korban sibur means that every yachid has a chiyuv to bring a korban, and then and everyone then has his portion in the korban, and now they're all dead. And the answer is that no, it's on the sibur as a whole, and the sibur still continues to exist. So the Gemara says, "Menole that a papa, huh? Well, where does your papa know that concept? Taka, where does he know?" That Sibur doesn't die. Is it going to be because of a pasuk in Tehillim, tachas aveisecha yuvanecha, in the place of your fathers will be your children? So that implies that the children completely take over from their fathers. Then the same thing should work even for a yochid as well. Because we know by a chatas yochid it's not like that. Rather, a papa is medayakit from the fact that every Rosh Chodesh you bring a korban chatas. The Amar Rachmana Maisi Mitzruma Salishka. The Torah tells you bring the chatas of Rosh Chodesh from the Truma Salishka, from the Machzah Shekel that was collected before Nissan. Vahom Maisi Lahumi Yisrael. Now, inevitably, there are going to be Jews who died during the year. So now you could conceivably have some of the Machzah Shekel that you used to buy this month's turban may come from Jews who in between died. So what would happen then? So if you were going to say that it doesn't work for Hanach to Paishi, Heichi Maisu, so now how could the remaining Jews, how could they bring the korban when you have, it's Chatas Shemesu Bala on the face of it, you have some of the money belongs to people who since died. So Rashi says that Shema, maybe some people died. The Rosh actually says here in Tosfos the Rosh, even if we know for sure that they did, but the point is, we don't know whether any particular coin that they used to buy the korban came from those people or not. So you see from that when it's a tzibur, it's not a problem, and even chata shemesu ba'aleha can be brought. The Kehilas Yaakov does bring up a problem, though. The fact is that there at least you know that the majority of the Jewish people are alive. Here at this point, the Gemara is assuming that all the people from Tzidkiyahu's times are long since dead, and therefore so you don't have. It's one thing to bring a chatas for the chayim, for the living, and then Ren Mason will be included with it as well. But here you're not talking about that. So he leaves the question open, but that's Gemara seems to be doing that. The Gemara seems to be accepting that you can do that. And there's also the Kehilas Yaakov further discusses this point we're saying that if a person gives money to the tzibur for korbanos, what does it mean? At this point, it belongs to the Jewish people. It doesn't belong to him anymore. The fact is once he gave it, it belongs to the tzibur. So evidently the Gemara is making a distinction between a chatas belonging to a yochid or the tzibur. It's true in the case of the tzibur, it doesn't belong to any individual person. But therefore the point is, in other words, so fine. The Gemara is saying that on the face of it, though, if his money is used to bring the korban tzibur, then maybe, in other words, he's considered to be a part owner of it. You find, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu says when during the machlokas of Korach, he says Hashem don't accept
after mincha, and Rashi explains, it means even their portion of the korban should not be burnt on, should not be burnt on the mizbeach. It should just stick. It should just stick around there. So we see that. In a way, a part of a korban sibur can be assigned to the yochid whose money it came from. Okay. Anyway, the point is that Rav Papa is saying. That it's different between a yochid and a tzibur. So the Gemara has asked me, Domi, still, how do you compare it? So Rosh Chodesh dumulei ma'isim with tzibur. After all, with the third of Rosh Chodesh, maybe not necessarily did anybody die from when they gave the matzah shekel until now. And fine, the Be'er Sheva asks, what do you mean? A suffix shouldn't allow us to bring it. Chul and Ba'azara and different acronym talk about answers for that. Why that suffix wouldn't be a problem. But anyway, the point is, there might not be anybody who died. Aval hocha vade maisu, but in the case of Tzidkio, definitely we know the people from his times are long dead. So that's not a valid proof. Ella timed a papa mehocha. Rather, a papa is going to get his point that you can be mechaper for the mason from here. Dichtiv, the pasuk says by Egla Arufa, kaper la'amcha Yisrael asher podista Hashem. Hashem, atone for your people Yisrael, Hashem, whom you redeemed. Now, that means the Bright says, "Ruuya kapora zu shetachapa yoytz Mitzrayim." This kapora is worthy to be mechaper for those who left Mitzrayim. Nistiv Hashem podisa, because the pasuk says, "Whom you redeemed." So we're saying, in other words, that we're able to be mechaper now, many many decades or centuries later, with the Egla Rufa for a yid who for the Jews of the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we see, therefore, that you can be mechaper for the mason. There is a vote on this that says, in other words, why should the Yitzias Mitzrayim need kapara? So there's a vote on it from the famous Yerushalmi Magid Reb Shalom Shwadron that says that the Yitzias Mitzrayim need a kapara. Why weren't they mechanech their children, who should be with such a powerful chinuch, that they would be mechanech their children, etc., that it should be impossible for there to be a ritzach? And there are other explanations, including the Rashash says means to be mechaper for the eagle for them, but in any case, I mean, the fact is Egla Rufa wasn't yet noyed in the Dor HaMidbar anyhow. It only applies once they came into Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, the point is that the Braise is saying it's a mechaper on Yotzei Mitzrayim. So we see that when you have something of the tzibur, in this case not an actual korban, the Egla Rufa is not an actual korban, but still, then it is mechaper for the mason as well. But the Gemara says, "Mi domi, how do you compare? Hosam kulu isnuhun, isinun. In the case of Egla Arufa, everybody the main kapara is for the living, the main kapara is for the people of the city, whereas the Gemara tells us in Soita where you know, this person was in their city and then they maybe didn't realize he was there and didn't provide him with proper food and lodging and therefore he ended up getting killed in the fields over there. So you have, fundamentally, it's the living people of the city who are joining in this kapara. Migo de mechapra achayim, mechapra nam yamesim. So fine, along with, you have, it's mechapra for the living, and then it can also be mechapra for the mesim. El ahocha, but here you're telling me about the korbanos from the second mesim mikdash, the korbanos that they brought, including these 12 se'irim that we said before. Mi havuchayim, were there any people alive, So, not anybody. Gemara is going to bring soon a pasuk from Ezra that says there were some people alive, but they're certainly not the roiv. So the Gemara's answer is Enochanami. Yes, in fact, there were some of those sinners who were still alive. Because when they built the foundations for the second Beis Mikdash, the pasuk says Rabbi Me'akoyim Alaviim Roshay Avos. Many of the Koyim and Leviim and the heads of the families. The pasuk goes on to say they were old. They had seen the first Beis Mikdash. Now they're seeing the second Beis Mikdash, which is much less beautiful, and they were crying. So we see that. There were people who still remembered the first Beis Mikdash. So they want to ask, "Duma mu'atim habu v'le'rabim habu." Fine, but they may be only a mute. So they may be only a mute. They're not a roiv of the tzibur. So Rashi is saying, in other words, that by now most of them having died out, then you have the few oldsters who are left. But nevertheless, they're still not the roiv. And the Tosfos HaRosh actually brings from the Ramah that, wait a minute, the question isn't whether they're most of the people now, are they most of the people who were doing Avodah Zarah in the time of Tzidkiyahu? And anyway, it's a chatas, if you're going to tell me, chatas shemesu ba'aleh, on the point, the whole point is, Rav Papa is learning from here that with the tzibur, that's not a problem, that it doesn't matter, roiv or miut.
So Rav Moshe goes on in his letter over there and in his chidushim over there and explains that and explains basically why it is. It would have to be that they would have to be Roiv of the Tzibur in the time of Ezra, where it has to be, where now if they were to do it, they would be Chayev, then they can bring a korban for the, then they can bring a korban for the previous generation. So to learn Rav Papa's din that in Chatas Tzibur Mesa, that the Tzibur is like a corporation that continues to exist from generation to generation, Then that the Gemara is asking that if they were only a miut, then that wouldn't work. And the answer is Haksiv, no, because the Pasuk says, V'loi hikiru b'kol tzuras ha-simcha. Again, the Gemara is paraphrasing the Pasuk a little bit. The actual Lashon HaPasuk is, V'eino am makirim kol tzuras ha-simcha. The people could not realize. Now, yeah, some people are shouting and singing with joy that they're seeing the second Beis HaMikdash built. And then you have the others, we said the oldsters, who are crying because they remember the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk says they couldn't distinguish the sound of the shouting of the simcha, l'chol b'chiyo am, because of the sound of the crying of the people. And the Pasuk says, "V'akol nishma ad l'merochek," the sound could be heard very far away. So in other words, the crying of the old ones were actually drowned out the joyful sounds of the young ones. So we see, therefore, so that would mean that they're the majority actually. So it's not a chatas shemesiv alda. Most of the owners of it are still alive. So fine. Now there is a din that if you have a chatas that belongs to partners, then the Gemara is going to discuss soon whether it's considered like yachid or tzibur. So and if we say it's a chatas yachid, we mean even one partner dies, then the whole thing is a chatas amesa. But now we're saying that no, based on we had the proof from Egla Arufa, then no, we're saying that now we can have the roiv can bring a chatas, it can be a chatra on the mesim. So therefore, there's no problem the fact that some of the Jews died in between, because you have right now these old people are actually the majority. The Gemara is saying. So the Gemara asks, fine, but one last question is, these people, when they worshipped Rebbe Dezadeh in Tzidkiyahu's times, they were doing the mezid, the chatas is only for people who were shogeg. So now the Gemara finally brings in the answer, haras shah hoysa. It was a haras shah to bring the korban in this case. So again, the Gemara could have easily answered all along that it was Ha'ras Shah, but the Gemara wanted to go through the whole Shakal of Italia so we can derive these various points that we said so far. And the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistabra. In fact, it's logical to say that. The Eloi Tema Hachi. If you're not going to say that, then how are you going to explain the other numbers of Korbanos? Elim Tishim Beshisha, Kvasim Shivim Beshiva, where they had 96 Elim and 77 Kvasim. Kenegan me, what does that correspond to? And Tosfos again even wonders why they would be treating them like a chatas atzibur and then bruning them as well. Ela Ha'ras Shah Hoysa. So obviously it must have been a Ha'ras Shah. Hachanami Ha'ras Shah Hoysa. Therefore, in this case, it was also Ha'ras Shah. It was a Ha'ras Shah to bring for the Mizidim. So yeah, at this point, Tosfos says the Gemara could have easily answered all the questions up until now with that and said Ha'ras Shah Hoysa, and that's that. So again, we wanted to go through the whole Shakal of Italia. The Gemara wanted to go through the whole Shakal of Italia. There's a Pirush on our Masechta called Chesetz Hashem from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He says that the Gemara wanted to, as much as possible, try to answer it according to the usual rules of halacha before we have to resort to Ha'ras Shah. Fine. Now, let's talk about this matter of if you have partners in a korban. Tana Rabbanan, mes echad min ha-tzibur. So first of all, you have, again, if one of the tzibur died before the par helam davar shel tzibur, chayoven, they still have to bring it. So again, you know, the whole case we've been having in this masechta, where Beis Din gave a wrong psak, and most of the people followed it, etc., etc. If in between, after they designated the animal for the animal or animals, plural, depending on which opinion you follow, for the korban, one yid died, they still bring the korban anyway. But echon mibestin, but if one member of the bestin died, pterin, then they would be potter. So the Gemara says, man tana, which tana says such a thing? And the answer is, Omer of Chista, Omer of Zeder, Omer of Yemi, Omer Rav, Reb Meir. This would be specifically according to Reb Meir, Dama, where Reb Meir had said all along, based in Mevi and Velay Tzibur, that based in are the ones who bring the korban, not the Tzibur. So therefore, it's not considered a chatas of the Tzibur. Hilkach, mes echa minat Tzibur, chayoven. Therefore, if one person from the Tzibur dies, they're still chay of the korban, because why not? The whole korban called a based in. The whole based in is still is still standing, they're still alive, and they're the owners of the carbon. So not one owner of the carbon has died, so therefore we're fine. But mes echad based in turin, but Rameo would say if one member of the based in died, then they're potter to have the lochatas from mes echad and ashutvin, because then in effect it's a chatas where one of the partners died umishum hachib turin, and therefore they're potter because now to now, so in other words, it's not really shutfin. It's not like it's not really shutfin. Rashi explains that shutfin is kind of like a halfway thing between Yochin and Sibur. It's not the, we say, since the mayor holds that the Beis Din is bringing it, two people can't bring a carbon in partnership. A carbon is for one person at a time. But they can't bring it in partnership and both be yotze with it. But here, in effect, it is a partnership because we're saying it's brought on behalf of the Beis Din, and they can't be called a tzibur because not a tzibur. So therefore, the Gemara uses the word shutfin, but not to imply that they're literally partners in it. But the point is, in other words, so Rameo would say that if one of those quote unquote partners dies, then it's a chatas shemesa baalei, and therefore they're potter. Mask of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asks on that, why are you telling me, Rav Chista, and that whole chain back to Rav, that this Dafka has to be appointed a mayor, the Noikmak Rav Shimon? Why don't we explain instead that the Braisa is like Rav Shimon, Dama based in Imat Tzibur, where he says that the based in plus the Tzibur brings, so you have, there's one for the, as he said, there's one for the based in and one for each shavit of the Tzibur who did the Avera. So therefore you would say, Mesecha Minat Tzibur Chayogin, so if one member of the Tzibur died, then they're Chayav Jain Tzibur Mason, because as we've been saying all along, there's no, as Rav Papa had explained, the Tzibur never dies. The corporation exists from generation to generation. Mes Echem is based in Turin, but if one member of based in dies, then the potter can amin in the Chatas Shutfin, because then it's like a Chatas of Shutfin. So why do we Dafka have to say that it's appointed a mayor? Now what's wrong with saying it's like a mayor? The Rosh explains like this. If you're going to say it's like a mayor, then there really isn't much of a chiddush that they're chayiv for when the Tzibur dies, because Rameo says that Tzibur doesn't really have a part in it. The Tzibur's role in this whole story was only that they followed Beis Din, but the carbon doesn't belong to them. But if you say it's appointed of Shimon, then there's a chiddush that even though that you distinguish between the Tzibur and the Beis Din over here. So why don't we say that it's like Rav Shimon, and then there's a greater chiddush in the Braisa? The answer is Omale Abaya. So Abaya says you can't. Shem inim le Reb Shimon, da'omar chatas shutvin ein emesa. We find Reb Shimon saying that a chatas that belongs to partners, again, partners meaning where it's something less than a tzibur, is not a chatas emesa, it's not one of those chataris that has to be left to die. D'tanya, pair v'ser she yemach kipurim she'ovdu. If the par or the sur of Yom Kippur, the par which the Kohen Gadol brings, or the sur which is brought, or the sur which is brought for the tzibur, you have the sur Lashem and the sur Lazazel. If they, here we're talking about the sur Lashem, if those were lost, if those went lost, the hifer shachem tachteim, so you designated a different par or a different sur instead of them, and you brought the par of the sur, and then you find the original one, Yomusu Kulan, then in either case, they have to be left to die, because it's considered a chatas on Mesa. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda said. There are five cases where a chatas has to be left to die. One of them that we've been discussing so far is Mesu Baaleha, where the owner died. Another one is Niskatru Baaleha Ba'achar, where the owner used a different animal for his kapara, for his chatas. When we learn the Masechta Tmura in a year and a half or so, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get into these details extensively. Anyway, this would be a case of Niskaku Ba'alei Ba'acher where they already used a different carbon. Rashi points out, by the way, that you can't save them for next year because you're supposed to buy them with this year's money. But then there's also the point that Be'er Sheva says another point based on the Gemara and Yuma that the problem is they may mistakenly be makriv them during the year. In any case, the point is, so that's the Tanakhama says that they have to be left to die. So there is Misa in this case, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, Yiru at Yiru, they are left to graze until they develop a mum, and then you can use the money to buy a different carbon. To buy olas for kaitzam is there. Lofishein chatas tibur mesa, because a chatas of the tibur does not die.
As we said before. So now this is considered, now this is not a chata, now the power that we're dealing with over here is mechaper only for the Kohenim. It's not mechaper for the Jewish people collectively, as we learned in the Sefer Shavuos. So therefore, so we see that according to Reb Shimon, even a chatas of shutfin, not of an entire tzibur, is not mesa. So therefore, so when we said before in the Braisa that if one member of the Beis Din dies, then the animal, then the potter and the animal cannot be brought as a korban, that can't work according to Reb Shimon. And Rashi and Tosfos both point out that here again it is talking about Mesu Baalehem, but the point is that they're saying that Ein Chatas Tzibur, that Ein Chatas Tzibur Mesa, in other words, so it doesn't have the din of a Chatas Yochan, it has the din of a Chatas Tzibur, and all of those cases of Mesu and Niskapu and so forth don't apply in this case, and therefore instead of locking up the animal and leaving it to die, they can instead wait until it develops a mum and so forth. So Abaye says he can't say that Braitha would work according to Reb Shimon necessarily. It has to be according to Reb Meir. Omelet Reb Yosef, but Reb Yosef answers that. Koyanim Kamrit. Wait, how are you going to prove anything from the case of this korban of the power of Yom Kippur, which is meant exclusively as a kapara for the Koyanim? Shiny Koyanim, the Ikru Kohol. It's different by the Koyanim. They alone are called a Kohol. Dichtiv, and we discussed before that according to Reb Shimon, each shevet alone is called a Kohol. The pasuk says he should be mechaper for the kohenim and for all the people of the kohol. So the kohenim are considered a kohol. They're not considered just partners. So therefore, so the braisa could well work according to Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says Ela Me'ata. Well, then by that logic, if the Kohenim are a Kohol, Naisu Par Bahira. So then, fine. If the Beis Din has passed in wrongly and the people followed, etc., etc., then according to Reb Shimon, the Kohenim should have to bring a separate Par of their own. So according to Reb Shimon, if all 12 Shvatim followed the Beis Din, then there should have to be 14 Parim, one for each of the 12 Shvatim, one separately for the Kohenim, and one for the Beis Din. You're going to say maybe yeah. Well then no, Tofri Lahu Shvatim. Then you have too many Shvatim. Reb Shimon had said that that the maximum is 13, 12 for the 12 Shvatim and 1 for the Beis Din. According to what we're saying now, you would end up the maximum could be 14. So Ela Omer Rabacha Rabbi Yaakov. So no, Rabacha Rabbi Yaakov says the answer is Shivta Shal Levi La Ikru Kohol. Shevet Levi is not called a Kohol. Because again, let's go back to that pasuk that Hashem said to Yaakov, and Yaakov tells over to Yosef, "Hinini matrecha v'hibisicha. Behold, I will be increasing and multiplying you, unsaticha l'kal amim agomer, and I will make you into a kohol of nations, etc." And the pasuk continues, Hashem tells him, "And I'll give you Eretz Yisrael as your heritage." So we can learn from that Okoshi Yeshle Achoze Ikri Kohol, only any Shevet that has a heritage, that has an inherited property in Eretz Yisrael, is called Kohol. V'cholsha in Leachoze Leikri Kohol. A Shevet that does not have a portion in Eretz Yisrael is not called a Kohol. Shevet Levi does not have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. They have Ore Miklot, but they have the Ore Miklot. But that's not really considered a nachla. It's not considered an achuza of theirs. In fact, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that it's actually in effect if the other shvatim are told to give it to them as a matana. It's not really considered their property that they inherit from generation to generation. In effect, it's like a matana. There is also a point. The Aderas brings a point that the mayor. In a Mishnah in Makos says that people that Rotzchim who go to these Ore Miklat don't have to pay rent in any of the cities. Now the halacha is not like that. They have to pay in the 42 cities, just not in the 6. So therefore, it would mean that Or Sugya would be, if we said that Or Sugya was appointed a mayor, then the halacha wouldn't be like that. But again, according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that doesn't matter. It is actually, they're not really considered the Levim's property at all. They're considered the property of the other Shvatim, and just they're commanded to give it to them, just like you're commanded to give Maaser Rishon to the lady. So the point is, since they don't have an achuza, then therefore we would learn from that that means the kohenim and even the kohenim plus levim are not considered to be a kohol. So therefore we are able validly to say that if we're saying that they're
that their chatas, that the par, is not left to die just because neskafu ba'alei ba'acher, then it means that there, it means in fact that, that we can prove the point that we were starting on Amar Aleph, that in fact that the chatas of shukvim is also, according to Reb Shimon, is not left to die, and therefore we can't say again that would mean that the braisa that we said before that said that if one member of the beis din died they can't bring the korban, that would in fact have to be according to the mayor and not according to the shimon. Okay, so the Gemara asks you, Hochi, if you're going to tell me that Shevet Levi is not called a kohol, then you're lacking, you don't have 12 shvatim then. Amar Abaya, so Abaya answers because, as the pasuk says, Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvin, Rishim, and Yuli. Ephraim and Menashe will be considered like Reuven and Shimon. So for this purpose, Ephraim and Menashe count as one, as two separate Shvatim. So therefore, you're back to 12. But Amar Rava, Vaksiv, Al Shem Achem, Yikoru Menachalosam. But Rava says the pasuk continues, they will be called by the name of your of their brothers on their Nachla. Now, in so that means, in other words, that so in certain context, in other words, the pasuk is saying that Yaakov is saying to Yosef, if any other children are born to you after that, then they will be considered to be part of Shevet Ephraim or Shevet Menashe, respectively. But Rava is also understanding the pasuk to be saying that so the pasuk is saying that if there are any other children, they won't be shvatim of their own; they'll just get a portion within Ephraim and Menashe. So therefore, what it means is v'nachla hukshuv lo ledavar acher. Shevet Ephraim and Menashe are considered like other shvatim as far as nachla, yikoru b'nachalosam, but not for other purposes. So therefore, so wouldn't that mean that Levi has to be a kohol? Otherwise, you have only 11 shvatim. So in other words, Rav Acha had taken that the two parts of the pasuk go together. That only anybody who has a nachla is considered a kohol. Rav is saying no, because that's not what it means. It means that there's two separate things. Number one is hatichal kal amim. You're going to have Binyamin, Menashe, and Ephraim. Second of all, you're going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean that any shevet that doesn't inherit Eretz Yisrael, such as namely Shevet Levi, is not a kohol. So therefore, Shevet Ephraim and Menashe are not considered separate shvatim for other purposes. For example, on the stones of the Choshen, you have Yosef, you know, Menashe and Ephraim for other purposes. So when I ask the Loi, what do you mean that there's no Sabai says, what do you mean there's no other case where Ephraim and Menashe are considered separately? V'hochalukin b'tigolim, each one, Ephraim and Menashe each had their own flag and their own area in the camp in the Midbar. So Rabbi says, fine, kenachalosim kachana yosim. Fine, that means that that Yaakov made them separate. Also, he told them how they're going to divide up Eretz Yisrael. He also told them how they're going to camp in the Midbar. So it means whatever Rashi brings from Medrash Tanchuma, that in fact exactly that Yaakov Avinu did both of these things. We also find that Yaakov told them how they should carry his coffin, and Ephraim and Menashe did that instead of Yosef and instead of Levi. Rashi brings it on the Psukim. So the fact that they had a separate degel, fine, that's because Yaakov is telling them as one thing, you're going to be separate shvatim as far as territories in Eretz Yisrael and as far as camping in the Midbar. That the encampments in the Midbar should be covered, Dick. That should be that it's not just a random thing, that each degel, each section should have three shvatim. Okay, so Abai says, well, Chalukim and Nesiim. We find that Ephraim and Menashe also had separate Nesiim, and they each brought their own korbanos during the 12 days. And the answer is, again, Ahu Lachal covered the Nesiim. That's to give honor for the Nesiim. Once they have, each one has their own flag and their own encampment, so therefore each of their Nesiim has to bring as well. Otherwise, it would be a bizillion to the other one. The Tanya, as we learn in Abraisa, Shloima also Shiva Simei Chanukah. Shloima made 7 days of inauguration when the first Beis HaMikdash was built. So why did Moshe have to make 12? Why didn't he also just make 7? Does this mean, in other words, on the face of it, you're talking about that Hashem told him, what's the problem? So okay, the Chok Nosan explains that the question is, why would Hashem tell him 12 when Hashem knew that eventually he's going to tell Shlomo to do only 7? But the Hoda Gover has an explanation about that. No, because then why didn't they want to ask about anything like that? So, if I care, the question should be, if Moshe did 12, why didn't Shlomo do 12?
So basically, the Achronim talk about, that's the point, in other words, that there's 7 days, usually you have 7 days of Miluim. By the Mishkan itself, there was 7 days of Miluim, and by the first Beis HaMikdash, there was seven, you always have 7 days, of 7 days of Pesach, 7 days of Sukkot. So why over here is an exception, and there are 12? Can they lachlok cover the Nesiim in order to give honor to the Nesiim, so each one will bring their own korban on their own individual day? So therefore, basically, Ephraim and Manasseh are considered one Shevet, for the purpose, for most dinim, including this one of Parhelim Davashal Tzibur, and the result is that when they bring the korban, then according, so they would count as one shevet as far as counting how many shvatim sin, and it would also be according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that each shevet brings their own par, then well, they would bring one par together for representing Yosef. And Shevet Levi would also be considered a kohel for this purpose, as Rava had said, and therefore they would bring a korban. So therefore, when we said before that the korban of the kohenim, that if the power was lost and they brought a different one and then they found the original one, that we said if Reb Shimon would say that in chatas tzibur mesa, in the case when the braisa said if a member of the tzibur died, then they still bring the korban, but if a member of the beis din died, then they wouldn't bring the korban. That would have to be specifically appointed a mayor, because appointed Reb Shimon, there'd be no reason they couldn't. It would still be considered a chat. So if a member of the tzibur dies, then it doesn't matter, because each tzibur is called a kohol, and the kohol never dies. As opposed to if one member of the beis din dies, then we're saying it's considered a chatas ashurfin, and therefore we do have to allow it to die. The point being, in other words, in the end, the halacha wouldn't be like that, because the halacha is anyway that the beis din does not bring a par of their own. It's just that each shevet does, and therefore whether one member of the beis din dies doesn't matter. Okay. So the Gemara says, my havia law. So what's the bottom line? What do we do as far as this machloikus of Rabbi Yosef and Abaya? That's where we still have to clean up. We still have to finish up that point. So what's the deal? In other words, do we say that according to Reb Shimon, a chatas of partners is considered like a chatas tzibur and it doesn't die, or is it considered like a chatas of a yachid and it does? So getting back to that now, what's the deal? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Tanya, Reb Shimon, Chomish Chatoris Mesis, there are five cases where Chatas has to be left to die. Vlad Chatas, the first case is where Chatas gave birth to a baby. So you can't bring the baby as a korban, it has the kedusha of a Chatas, but you can't bring it as a korban. And you can't be poided because it doesn't have a mum, so therefore you leave it to die. A chatas, by the way, a chatas of a yochid is always a female animal, so a female sheep or a female goat, so it's very possible for it to have a baby. Or tmuras chatas, or where the owner made a tmura, where he took the animal of chatas and said, I'm swapping it out for this animal, whereas we know the Torah says, v'hoyohu smurasi yekodesh, that both of them have kedusha, but you can't bring the second one as a chatas because he already has the first one for his chatas. What's he supposed to do with the second one? And then you can't bring it as a korban. Rashi points out because an aveira was done with it. Actually Rashi doesn't mention that, but whatever. That's the point. An aveira was done with it. Rashi actually mentions this elsewhere in the Masechta Me'ila. Next, utmuras chatos. So it's utmuras chatos. The chatos shemesu ba'alel. The third case is where the chatos's owner died, because again, ain't kaparol amesim, like we talked about on Amud Aleph. Number four, the chatos shenisskapru ba'alel. The fourth one is a chatos where the owner already had his kapara with another animal, so he lost the animal and then he brought another one and then he found the original one. And the fifth one is the chatos sh'over hashnasa, where more than a year has passed since it was born, and a chatos is valid only if it's during its first year of life. So in all those cases, you see, you have five chatoris amesis. And Reb Shimon continues, v'iyata yochol loymar vlad chatos b'tzibur. Now, when it comes to the tzibur, it's impossible for there to be a vlad chatos. She'en tzibur mafishin nekeva, because you never have a korban tzibur, which is a female animal. V'iyata yochol ha'tmuras chatos b'tzibur. The concept of tmura is not possible by a tzibur either. She'en tmura b'tzibur, because the tzibur are not able to make a tmura. Only an individual person who owns a korban is able to make a tmura. The Gemara learns it from Pesukim.
Nor can there be a chatas shemeser baalei when it comes to the tzibur, because as we've been saying, shein tzibur meisim, the tzibur never dies; it continues from generation to generation. But what about though? We haven't heard what would be the din as far as the other two. Those are perfectly possible with the tzibur as well. You could have, like we learned on Amud Aleph, that the animal for a korban tzibur got lost and they brought a different one, and now this one turned up. And you could have also over shnasa, the animal is left and it's over a year old. So you would think, says Reb Shimon, that they should be left to die. Amarta, you're going to say no. Yomid sosim and amafurish. Let's learn the ones that are not specified from the ones that are specified. Ma matzinu mevlad chat. By the way, there's a simen that's brought, the Shittim Rukubetis brings, and various other mefurishim bring a simen for the five kinds of chatoris hamesis. The word is visimna, as in the pasuk visimna hoisapilagish. Visimna stands for vlad, tmura, mesu, niskapru, and ovra. So these are the key words of each of these five things. Anyway, so Reb Shimon says, "Mamat sinim b'vlad chatas or tmoras chatas v'shemeser ba'aleha." What do you find by those three? The yochid dvarim amunim v'le b'tzibur. By definition, we said those three can only apply to the yochid, not the tzibur, because again, there's no korban tzibur that's a female animal. There's no korban tzibur where tmura is possible. There's no korban tzibur where the owners can die. Afshin iskapa ba'aleha v'sha'ov rashnasa b'yochid dvarim amunim v'le b'tzibur. So Reb Shimon says the same way the other two, even though they could happen with the tzibur, the rule that the animal now has to be left and locked up to die would apply only to the yachid. So we see that Rav Shimon holds that there's no chatas tzibur that dies because you don't have, he would say that all these five go together. Well, now the din is when it comes to partners as well. You never have a korban of partners, which is a female animal eater, because the cases of korbanos of partners are the par helam davashal tzibur, the basin's korban according to him, and the korban of the kohenim, and all, both of those are male animals. Nor can you have tmura, because shutfin, because partners can't make a tmura either, from the same thing that we say that the tzibur can't. So the same thing would be, so the same way it would come out, that Reb Shimon would say, therefore, that no, it's not, so therefore, a korban of shutfin would in fact not be a chatas amesa, it would instead be left to graze until it develops a mum, and then you take the money and use it to buy another korban. So that would show like a baya, that Reb Shimon does in fact hold that it's not mesa. So therefore, again, the braisa that we said before, that if a member of the beis din dies, they can't bring the korban anymore, that cannot be according to Reb Shimon, it would be only according to the mesa. But the Gemara asks, wait a minute, what kind of a limud is that? You're saying because three of these things are not possible by the tzibur, and then two of them are not possible by shutfin, therefore you're going to say all the other ones don't apply either. V'chidon an efshir mishii efshir. How do you learn something which is possible from something that's not possible? You know why you can't have a vlad chatas by the tzibur? Because there are never any female animals by the tzibur. Had there been, then it would be possible. The same thing with the other one. You can't say because something is impossible, therefore you can learn from it. What's impossible? Possible is impossible, but that doesn't mean the things that are possible shouldn't still apply. So the answer is Reb Shimon b'chad mokem gomer. The answer is Reb Shimon learns them all from one place. He says there was Aloch on the Moshe Mitzinai that. He says there's Aloch on Moshe Mitzinai that it's a package deal, that all five of them go together, that when do you have the case of Chatas HaMesa is only when all five of them could apply. So that's what he's saying, basically. In other words, that when it's not a matter of Efshe Mishi'i Efshe, it's a matter of that when the Jewish people were told that there were Chatoris HaMesis, it was one Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai that it applies only in one case, either Yachid or Tzibur. Now, since all five of them are impossible, but Tzibur, therefore, of necessity, it has to be that it applies only in the one place, namely the Yachid. Rashi actually brings from the relevant Gemara in Tzmura that says that originally the halacha l'moshe Mitzinai was that there were four cases that are mesis. The fifth one was supposed to be yira that should be left to graze, but that it would apply all in one place. They had a suffix. The Gemara mentions over there there were hundreds of halachas. They forgot details of halachas. They forgot after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away because of the mourning for Moshe, so they had to say all five of them are mesa. So they realized that it applies only the yachid because there's no way that all of them would be able to apply b'tzibur, because if you said three of them do not apply b'tzibur.
So therefore, so we're saying therefore that Reb Shimon would be saying the same thing as far as Shrutrim as well. So therefore, again, when we said one member of the Beis Din died, and we said that then they can't bring the korban anymore, that cannot be according to Reb Shimon. So that therefore backs up Reb Yosef's point that it would be only according to. So that would back up Reb Yosef's point that could be only according to the mayor and not according to Reb Shimon. Hadron Aloch Horu based in one point, by the way, we were talking about on Oman Aleph about whether it's possible to do kapara for the Mesim. So we ended up saying it is possible to have a kapara that at least includes the Mesim. We said that part of the Egla Arufa is Mechaper for the current generation, but also for the previous generation, all the way back to Yitzis Mitzrayim. And we said that the Korbanos they brought at the beginning of the second Mesim Mikdash were Mechaper for the previous generation, even though many of them had died by that point. Based on that we see that there is kapara for the Mesim, is where we get the concept that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch and the Halachas of Yom Kippur, when we say Yizkor and when we say Mishabedach and we say and we give tzedakah on behalf of the Mesim, it is effective. We are able, in fact, to do that, and that's how we can have that we do mitzvahs on behalf of the Mesim, and it does help their neshamas. Okay.